Hello again, Gooners! It's me, I'm back, The Glitch. You've heard of The Grinch? Well, this is The Glitch. I'll have to do something about that theme music. I've got ideas, right? And so did Arsenal against Sevilla. How did they hit the Spanish side for six? I will never know, but it was a joy to behold, of course. I think I'll stop the drums there, because I'm getting a little sick of them. But as I said, working on some theme music. Actually, I've kind of got some theme music already, but I've just got to put it in the right format. And then no doubt someone will say, well, you know, you're not allowed to use that. But the truth is, I am, because I wrote this music. But I don't know. I'm not at the stage yet where I'm ready to let everybody hear it, even though some people heard it before a while back. Okay. Anyway, looking back to the game, the Sevilla game, pretty exciting stuff. I mean, what can I say? A lot. Jesus Gabs is all I can say. Jesus Gabs, superstar, wears number 9 faster than a car. Okay, maybe that last line's not so good, but I have a different line because I think you know where that's coming from. It's like a rework of the Andrew Lloyd Webber, Jesus Christ, superstar. I thought Jesus Gabs, superstar, wears number 9 and he sets the bar. How about that? You like that? Well, if you like it, please compose the music, but then you'd have to get the copyright off Andrew Lloyd Webber because clearly it won't be easy. Arsenal could do it, couldn't they? They can ask me to come in and sing it if they really insist. I'd probably be there for that. But Gabriel Jesus was certainly there, nailing his goal-scoring credentials to the Arsenal mast. Finally makes it to the Emirates. 3 goals. I don't even know how many minutes it took him, but it wasn't very long. So my headline is Jesus makes marmalade out of the Seville oranges. Seville, obviously famous for its orange plantations. A lot of Spain is actually, but let's not go there. At the moment, I was thinking, what else is Spain famous for? Well, apart from Mikel Arteta, of course, also famous for Emery. Emery's in the news for all the wrong reasons. A fan said he did very good at Arsenal, and he gave a rude gesture was his response to that, because he felt the guy was being sarcastic. But what did I read about Emery, which quite to me was relatively interesting. At least he said, you know, that he didn't really have the opportunity to get things right. He was a bit unlucky. He said Pepe needed time. I wonder if he's ever going to get time before he gets shipped out. That's the thing. But the first 11, you've got to be happy with that, haven't you? And the preseason too. Quite honestly, I don't recall ever seeing a preseason this good. Ever. I just don't remember it. If it ever was this good, I certainly don't remember it. Raining goals and in the right end. And apart from the Brentford setback, when you look at the team, I don't know if I can find the team now, but if you look at the team for the Arsenal versus Brentford match, there weren't really very many that figure in the first team. I'm just looking it up now to see if I can find it, because I did see the lineup. I was trying to get to see some of the footage, but I haven't managed to see that. I don't know if anybody out there has, but I did have a really good go at trying to see the what the action from that game. Talking slowly because I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting for this to pop up. But obviously, Crystal Palace coming up pretty soon, so it's a good time to hit form, that's for sure. So let's see if I accept all the cookies and everything. Now I'm going to get a look at the pink shirt, which I don't think I particularly want. But the black shirt, that's a whole different ball game. I love the merchandise at the moment. Love it. I think the club's going in the right direction on and off the pitch. It really, really feels that way. And, I can't say I never told you, because I did say when everyone was going mad about the Cronkies, I said, I don't think they've come here to just make up the numbers. And people said to me, no, they came to take money out of the club. And that's not really how I see things. Some people going on about the 2 trophies. Emirates Cup and what was the other one called? Florida Cup, is it? I'm not sure. Anyway, 2 trophies not to be sniffed at, is it? Oh, why can't I see? I can't even see a match report for the Brentford game. So yeah, that sort of disappeared out of sight, it seems, which is okay. I'll try one more time. One more time. If I put Brentford, I know what's going to come up. I'm going to get the previous game in the league. It feels. Oh wait. Maybe I've got it. Here we go. The report: the Arsenal 1, Brentford 2 game. That's the only thing that's messed up the preseason. But as I've said before, it wasn't really a game for the players that are going to be involved from the start against Crystal Palace. So I'm not going to go through the whole match report. But Turner was in goal, so we wouldn't expect him to start. Interestingly, we've not seen Leno, but it sounds like Leno is going to be on the way to Fulham, possibly for a reduced transfer fee of about £8 million. Anyway, Cedric played in that game. He may be on the bench. That would not at all surprise me. I would expect Ben White to start at right back against Palace. Walters, we've seen him in the pre-season. He was playing, but only played half a game, replaced by Orr, A-W-E. I've never seen it. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Never seen him play, so no comment on him. Holding played. A lot of pundits saying Holding is a decent fourth choice centre back. Bearing in mind now everybody's raving about Saliba, Gabriel. Everyone's always raved about him, although he had a slightly shaky end of the season. White, of course, those are top three, the top three centre backs at Arsenal. So Holding comes in fourth, which is no shame on him because I think he's a very decent player. It seems that fans are very reluctant to forgive him for that sending off against Spurs. And yeah, me too, to some extent, but I can't forget what Holding's done in the FA Cup in the past and played very well in cup finals. So anyone that says he hasn't got big game mentality needs to think again. Tavares, Nuno Tavares played in that game against Brentford. Most of the game, he's now off to Marseille. So we're wishing him the best of luck there. Sure, he'll do well. Tavares, I think, is a really, really good prospect. So let's hope he comes back like just exactly the way William Saliba has come back to Arsenal. Souza took his place, but I haven't seen Souza, so can't comment. Elneny played the whole 90 minutes against Brentford. Lokonga played the full 90. These two probably be on the bench. Maitland-Niles, don't know if he'll be on the bench, but he started that game, was replaced by Patino, with about 5 minutes remaining. Marquinhos played the whole game. There's been a lot of talk about him being loaned out. Not sure where he's going yet, but I will keep you posted as soon as I hear something. Nelson played most of the game, and he was replaced by Sagoa Jr. And Nketiah played the whole game. So it was good to see him get on the score sheet. I'm going to go through some of the players in that Sevilla game. Not in loads and loads of detail, so this is going to be quite a short podcast unless somebody chimes in with comments. But anyway, so I already mentioned, of course, Gabriel Jesus and how the pre-season form has been magnificent. And of course, a lot of people say it doesn't really matter how you perform in pre-season. It really doesn't matter. But actually, it does give you an indication of how the forthcoming campaign is going to pan out, because when I first saw Lucas Fabianski, I know it was a while back, but when I first saw him, he played in a preseason game at Barnet. So he comes to claim the ball, drops it at a player's feet. I don't think the player scored, but he just was a bag of nerves from day one. And it was one of the most nervous debuts I've ever seen in an Arsenal shirt. So I certainly had second thoughts about him, even though he came with a bit of a pedigree in terms of he was a Poland international goalkeeper. He's gone on since to have a really decent career at Swansea and West Ham, but I never felt full of confidence when I saw him between the sticks. I remember a game against Chelsea. I think he conceded in that game, but the goal just looked enormous when he was standing between the sticks. And it shouldn't really look like that. It did to me, because I was right behind the goal for that game at the Emirates. And really, I was just not a big fan, it has to be said. In my opinion, even Manuel Almunia was a safer option. The manager at the time, Arsene Wenger, must have agreed, of course, because he drafted in whom some people call the Spanish waiter, obviously because of Fawlty Towers. And to me, I'm not sure many people agree with me on this, but to me, I thought Almunia was was a better option, and I thought the defence were marginally safer when Almunia was behind them. Maybe because he just didn't fill the whole team with nerves, but he didn't fill us, didn't fill too many people with that much confidence. Obviously, things have changed a lot now with Ramsdale in goal. But to me, when I looked at Fabianski in a pre-season game, it was a win against Barnet, but that's quite lowly opposition with all due respect. Still, I still feel there were lessons to be learned from pre-seasons. We saw Jack Wilshere in pre-season and he looked pretty amazing, and not so very long afterwards he was in the first team. So players can sort of break through based on what goes on during these friendly games. And I was thinking the only thing, this has been perhaps almost perfect this pre-season. The only thing is there aren't that many youngsters breaking through this season. Patino's not really been involved in the big games, at least the pre-season games. We had Walters look quite decent. But aside from him, who are the youngsters breaking through? That's the only slight concern. But then again, when you look at the average age of the side, it's pretty low. People keep saying, look at the back four, if you can call them a back four. Some say it's a back three. The highest age is 25. So this is a team that's going to improve as long as Arteta can keep them all together and happy. And it seems a pretty happy camp at the moment. Somebody on Le Grove mentioned, I was thinking the same thing, that Nketiah and Arteta, when they did a quiz on Arsenal.com, they really seemed to enjoy each other's company. It was a joy to listen or watch, and a joy to listen to, and an even greater joy to watch, because it wasn't hilariously funny, but it was relatively good entertainment, especially waiting for the Sevilla game to kick off. So anyway, talking of the Sevilla game, how did the players do, you may well ask. Well, if you didn't, I'm asking for you. My response is this. Ramsdale, I'd give him a 7. I thought he was pretty confident in goal. He wasn't really tested, though. Sevilla did have a few shots in the second half, but the first half was just a blitz, really. It was just an Arsenal blitz. And then they took their foot off the gas in the second 45, and you can't really blame them for that. But still, Ramsdale, I think he only had one shot to save in the whole entire game. White, meanwhile, as a right back, I think he's fitted in really well. He did overrun the ball a couple of times. It's going to be a tough test against Zahar of Palace, Wilfried Zahar. I think many people that have listened to these podcasts and those that have read the blog will know that I'm not the greatest fan of Zahar. I didn't want Arsenal to buy him. I remember getting loads and loads of hate mail from Palace fans saying, you're not good enough to have Zaha anyway, so we're glad you don't want him. And I was writing back to say, well, actually, it's not my choice, is it? I'm not the manager of the club. It's like they really thought it seemed like I'm going to make that big decision about him. I thought Pepe was a better option. And to tell the truth, I can't say I still do right now, because obviously Zaha had a much better season than Pepe. But if you cast your mind back two seasons, really, who had the better stats? I think you'd find it's Pepe two seasons ago. But we've got very short memories, football fans. Well, maybe I should take myself out of that, because my memories, well, it's here and there. I have been corrected about things. Sometimes I merge all the happy things together. But the sad moments I tend to remember quite a long time. But Zaha, my view on Zaha, yeah, he's quite a decent player. I think Pepe is more unpredictable. And if Arsenal could utilise Pepe's skills, get the best out of him, and he does seem to have turned over a new leaf, he's saying all the right things. Now all he's got to do is produce on a regular basis when he gets a chance, and now he'll have to be patient. And I think he will be. So I still have some belief in Pepe that he will turn his Arsenal career around and prove my point, hopefully, that I think he's a better winger than Zaha. Not many people will agree with me on that right now. But a season ago, as I said, I still don't think many people agreed with me. But if you looked at the stats, his stats were better. Simple as that. You know, he had more assists per minute, and he had more goals per minute than Zaha. And the team weren't doing that well. So anyway, enough on Pepe. Once I start on him, I never want to talk about anything else. But though you'd have to say, who doesn't want to talk about William Saliba? Faultless display, some amazing trickery when he needed to get out of jail. He got in a couple of difficult situations, not of his own making, but then he turned a few tricks and next thing he passed out of defence. I like the way he's passing. He's keeping it really snappy and simple and safe. And that fills me with confidence. As I've mentioned before, I think confidence is a really important thing, especially in defence, because if the defence loses confidence, next thing they're shipping in goals. Alongside him, it looks like a really good developing partnership between Saliba and Gabriel. Gabriel, I'd give him a 7. Saliba, I'd give him an 8. Gabriel, I thought he was generally comfortable. He made a mistake, I'm trying to think, in the first half, even when Arsenal were on top. It wasn't that serious, but he looked a little bit like he'd lost his way briefly. But overall, I was quite happy with his performance. Zinchenko, what can I say about this new signing? He's just slotted in like he's been at Arsenal all his life. He's raking diagonal passes. He loves those, doesn't he? He can pass the ball. I'd love to have measured how far he passed the ball. Perfect. It was a perfect pass. His positioning was perfect. He's a plug and play signing. Arsenal bought him, and he's, as I said, he feels like he's been there since the dinosaurs, since Gunnosaurus. Gunnosaurus Rex, to give him his full name. Okay, and what about Saka? Well, everybody's raving about Bukayo Saka. I'd give him 8. Like to give him a new contract that he'd sign as well. But scoring 2, 1 from the penalty spot. Thought he was going to miss it, actually. He hit it straight down the middle, and luckily the keeper went the other way. The keeper, what was his name? Bono. He was trying every trick in the book to put Saka off, showing him one side of the goal, and Saka just put it straight down the middle. It was quite funny. And he's always got a trick up his sleeve, a bit like Saliba, and a very cool penalty taker. So no one could be anything less than delighted with his performance. Same goes for Odegaard, the new captain, finally confirmed. So congratulations to Martin Odegaard. Another solid performance from him. Measured passing. He's got incredible work rate. He's always brought that energy to the team. I don't think Arsenal could ask for any more from a skipper who leads by example. He's pretty quiet, that's all. Maybe he's not the most vocal, but I think it's a good thing having him as with the armband, because he's not the sort that's gonna he's not gonna lose his tempo. He's your typical sort of cool, calm, serious Nordic who wants the best and is happy to work hard in order to get it. Fantastic work ethic, Odegaard. And not only that, he's got an amazing skill set as well. So he brings an awful lot to Arsenal. I'm so pleased for the club that they managed to sign him after that loan spell from Real Madrid. Right, moving on to Partey. Well, I personally think he's an essential linchpin in the side. He keeps things ticking over in the middle. He was guilty of a couple of stray passes. So I'd give him a 7. Odegaard would give an 8. Yeah, I thought Partey's not quite at his best. He's slowly getting there, but he's still relatively dominant. I think it's the other players. I mean, I think it's Saka and Odegaard, and we'll talk about the left side in a bit. But I think Partey, the central midfield area to me is still not quite as strong as it could be. Although Partey on his day is as good as anybody, but I still feel that those days are not happening frequently enough. Alongside him, sort of alongside, I didn't quite know where Xhaka was playing, actually. He seemed, I wouldn't say he was lost, but I didn't really notice him that much in the game, even though some people have rated him quite highly. I didn't think he was bad. I gave him a 6. He was very vocal in the team huddle, much more so than Odegaard. But to me, he had a relatively quiet game, but he didn't do anything wrong, so I was pretty happy from that perspective. So he's part of the gel that keeps the team cohesive. Martinelli on the left. Well, this guy, proper team player. I think that was exemplified when he set up the substitute Nketiah for a goal at the end. He could have taken it on himself, but he gave Nketiah almost a tap in, knocking it past the keeper. So it was an open goal for Nketiah, and he doesn't need too many invites to turn up at the goal party. So Martinelli, yeah, caused a lot of problems for the opponents. He doesn't, I don't think he has a different sort of way of, he doesn't whip the ball in quite as much as, say, Saka, but I like the way he reminds me a little bit of Robert Pires, the way he cuts inside. So, yeah, and who does Gabriel Jesus remind me of? Lots of people mention Ian Wright. I think he's got a touch of Ian Wright about him. He's such a mixture. Dare I say it, he's even like Lacazette when Lacazette was in his pomp, which might not have lasted very long, but Lacazette was a much better player than people seem to remember. But Jesus, I mean, I've never seen anyone come in and get a hat-trick on his home debut, you know, before things are really starting in earnest. So the season hasn't even really started, has it? So there's no way you can top Jesus's performance. He's sharp as a brand new razor blade. And this is where I got my jam thing from, or marmalade. He cuts Sevilla to shreds, turning those oranges into marmalade. So take that, Paddington. Anyway, transfer news, as I mentioned so far, Nuno Tavares off to Marseille for the season. Good luck, Nuno. And the other bit of transfer news is concerning nobody, really. There's talk about bringing in the Leicester midfielder, Tielemans, but I'm not sure that's going to be the answer to all of Arsenal's central midfield problems. It's not a massive problem because it seems like the wings are just so strong at the moment, but I just don't think Arsenal are as strong in that area as they are elsewhere. And they're not weak, but they're not strong, in my opinion. So before I go, just like to say a couple of words about two people who sadly passed away recently. Terry Neill, first of all, was a big fan of Terry Neill, the ex-Arsenal manager. He got Arsenal to how many cup finals? Four. I think 70... Oh, I've got to remember my dates. I'm really bad. 78, 79 and 80. 79 was a win, a memorable win against Manchester United. It was 2-0 to Arsenal. Arsenal were comfortable. And then they conceded two in the last few minutes. And finally, of course, there was that magnificent goal. Brady on the left, pass to Ricks, cross to Alan Sunderland, who nodded it in at the far post. So what a final that was. There was also a near miss. I think Terry Neill was very unlucky as an Arsenal manager. He could have won the Cup Winners' Cup, but didn't, lost on penalties. And it was a great game. I think it was Juventus away when Paul Vatten scored. That was an impossible feat. So if anybody doesn't realise how good Terry Neill was as a manager, I think they need to think again. And he brought a lot of excitement to the club. Arsenal suddenly became this not unbeaten cup team, but when you think about it, they'd got to three finals in a row. That takes some doing. And of course, I always thought he had a really bubbly personality, and that to me is encapsulated by the fact he brought in top players like Malcolm McDonald to the club, Charlie Nicholas. He must have been able to sell the club to these players who were much in demand. So, RIP Terry Neill and RIP Maria Petri. I was lucky enough to meet her on a pre-season tour of Asia 2013. The club were playing matches in Japan at the end of that tour. I couldn't really say I knew her, but my impression was she was extremely positive, always smiling, always enjoying herself. And yeah, I can only say my thoughts with her family and Terry Neill's what must be a very difficult time. So that's all from me. Not sure when Fizzy's going to be back. He may have other things to do that are more fun than podcasts. What's more fun than a podcast, you might ask? I don't know. That's why I'm doing this. But I managed to keep going for quite a while. It's not been unheard of for me to go on for much longer than this, but I will save your ears for this time. Maybe when the season kicks off properly, I'll have even more to say. So that's all for now. I will now just wish you goodbye. Adios.